music program. It's a great asset in the church. I don't know who left the candy bar here last week, but I have it. I don't know who it was intended for, but I have it. Good to have you listening in on our online today, and those who are with us today. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. I want to ask you a question today. Do you hear what you are thinking? Do you hear what you are thinking? The thoughts that are in your mind, both the conversations and the discussions that are going on in your thought life. I want to deal with the thought life today. We all have a thought life. Sometimes Marilyn will say when we're driving, "What are you thinking?" Sometimes I like to put my thought life in neutral, but that's not too good an idea to do that, because it's never really in neutral very long before wrong thoughts will creep in to your thought life. Look with me, first of all, the nature of the heart. And then secondly, the need of going to war. You know, we are in a battle. The world, by the way, is not a playground. It's a battleground. Our thought life is not a playground. It's a battleground. And we need to realize that. Turn with me again to the book of Mark, the 7th chapter. And as I look there, I draw your attention to verse 21 and 22. For from within, out of the what? The heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Now those are thoughts. There's a list of 13 of them there. You know, in the Bible, if you ever study numerology in the Bible, 13 is always the number of rebellion. And our heart, if we're not careful, the nature of the heart is to rebel against the things of God. And the problem with the heart is the heart of the problem. The heart is a problem. We have to deal with it. And as I draw your attention to that, I thought about Proverbs 23. You want to take a moment and turn, whatsoever man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So we have to realize that whatever our thoughts are, eventually, if we don't get them under control, they will come out through the way we live. Think with me today. I was thinking, I want to deal with three kinds of thoughts that are wrong in my life and in your life. There's not one here this morning that does not have had problems with his thought life. If you don't think you have, that's called being spiritually stupid. You have problems with it. I have problems with it. We all have problems with it because we have a sin nature. The heart is desperately wicked. And we need to keep it under control today. Now, there are three kinds of thoughts that I want to talk about. I've called the first one jailkeepers. Jailkeepers. Somebody said, have I ever been in jail? My thoughts have put me in jail more times than you can realize, and your thoughts have too. The second one is javelin throwers. We're going to look at David and Saul. Remember when Saul threw javelins at David? We have in our thoughts life, we will throw javelins at people. Thirdly, there is the joy stealers. You're just have the joy of the Lord, and all of a sudden, the thoughts that come up of things that are rather depressing or discouraging, and there goes your joy. So I want to deal with those three this morning. Father, thank you as we look at your word and as we think about it this morning. Help us to realize these situations. We'll thank you for those thoughts, Lord, that keep us in prison. May we be free of it. The jailkeepers, Lord. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I thought about that. Look there in chapter 21, chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. From For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts. Underline that. And then he mentions adulteries and fornications and murders. I thought of the fact I have dealt in my life with so many times with people who are hooked on pornography in their thoughts. And it has literally ruined their life. Notice it says adultery here. Look at the again. Adulteries, that's plural. Fornication, that's plural. Those plural thoughts that we need to keep in control. So we see here, they're jail keepers. If you have problems with pornography, it will no longer just be kept in here. It will be come out in different ways. Another one thought here is bitterness. Notice murders. How many here in this room have ever murdered anybody? Will you raise your hand? It's interesting. We don't want to do that, but that's what bitterness does. Bitterness really is thoughts that want to do somebody in because we do not lie. And we need to realize bitterness comes into our lives. And so I was thinking of that as I thought of two things. I thought of an illustration I think I'd given it to you before by a man who went to the doctor, wasn't feeling well, and the doctor ran a bunch of tests on him and found out he had been bitten by, he had rabies, but it was years ago and couldn't do anything about it. And he said, "Son, you have only a few days yet to live." Young man pulled out a piece of paper, began writing on that piece of paper. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm writing down all the names of people I want to bite before I die." Now that is bitterness. I think of a young lady years ago and her husband, so many years ago, but it's always fresh in my thoughts when I think about bitterness. Her dad was a rather rude fella and rather demanding in her life and in the life of his whole family. And I never will forget, because the young couple came in on two or three different occasions, her husband and this young girl who had just gotten married, and their marriage was falling apart. And as they sat there, I could observe. So the next time, certain things. And so the next time when they came in, his name, I believe, was Bob. Her dad's name was Don. I remember so well because as they came in the room, I said, "Denise, you sit over here," and I turned to Bob, but I said, "Don, you sit over here." And he said, "My name is not Don, it's Bob." And she jumped out of her seat. She said, "Your name is Don, you're just like my dad." She was carrying bitterness that she had experienced to her dad right into her marriage. And every time her husband did anything wrong, it was her dad through him. That's bitterness. So we recognize here, these are jail kids. And their marriage was like a prison because he was Don and not Bob by the way he did it. I remember so well, my mother was married three times, and all three of them were men who were heavy drinkers. My dad left us when I was 2 years of age, and I thought my mother, surely years later when I knew, I grew up somewhat, I couldn't figure out my mom would always be attached to someone who was an alcoholic. That's very interesting, because of bitterness had set in. And we, by the way, get attached, we get addicted to people just like the ones that we don't want to be with. Keep that in mind. So we have jail keepers. Put us in prison. It may be bitterness. It may be pornography. It may be fill in the blank. You may be have the problem of it being in prison this morning as a jail keeper, and it's got a hold of you, and it won't let go. The second one was javelin throwers. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel for a few moments this morning, and As you turn there, I draw your attention, to please, to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, we have the story of David and Samuel, or David and Saul, this morning. And I come here and recognize, as I look at this, would you look here at chapter 18 and verse 11? Now, this is after David had killed the giant. He was the general of Saul's army. Saul demoted him because if you go back up there, look at verse 7 of chapter 18. This is after David and Saul came back from battle. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands. David's his tens of thousands. And the Bible says in verse 8, and Saul was very wroth. Literally, he was burning within him, soul. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000 to me. They have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? What was happening was his thought life. His thought life was David was trying to steal the kingdom. And if you read the life of Gobon further, you know that David had no thought of doing that. But that's what Saul thought in his mind, in his thought life. And then notice here, down in verse 11, Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice. He literally tried to kill David with the javelin. Matter of fact, if you go to the 24th chapter, just keep going with me, go to the 24th chapter real quick, and you have it again there in the 24th chapter, the same thought here. And we come over there to chapter 24, and look with me, verse 4. Excuse me, the wrong chapter. Anyway, chapter 19, I apologize. Chapter 19. Go to chapter 19, if you will, please. And look with me at verse 9 and verse 10. An evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. Now, an evil spirit, that deals with his thought life, too. And the Bible says, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. You find it there in that chapter. Now go back to chapter, look there in chapter 18. Again, go to chapter 18, back to it for just a moment, and as we think about this, look at verse 29. I want you to get this. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Now, I want you to get that, because you find nowhere where Saul became David's enemy. David became Saul's enemy. You know why? Because David would not allow his thought life to want to hurt Saul. He didn't want to throw a physical or a spiritual javelin at Saul. Very interesting to note, if you will, please, in chapter 24, when there was an opportunity twice, it was to go there with me. I know I'm having you all over this book for a moment, but when you go to chapter 24, how do I know David did not consider Saul his enemy, although Saul considered David his enemy? And folks, javelin throwers see other people as their enemies. I suggest to you today, do what David did. Look over here. Now, David, in my book, would have, humanly speaking, would have been better off if he could get rid of Saul. For 10 years, Saul tried to kill David. But I want you to notice David's response there in chapter 24. And look with me at verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, that is David, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mightest do to him. Notice he said, deliver thy enemy into thy hand. Now, here's the problem. This is what his followers said to David. This is these men. But David's response is most interesting because David never saw Saul as his enemy. Saul saw David his enemy. But look here. Thou mayest do to him as it seemed good to thee. Then David rose and he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. In other words, he had an opportunity to kill David, to kill Saul. Look here. Look at the next verse. And it came to pass after that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Why? Because he kept close to God. I will not be. I will not be. I will not be a javelin thrower. Folks, how do you respond to those that hurt you? Are you a javelin thrower? Are those thoughts that will come into your life and do something to you? David never saw Saul as his enemy. Saul saw David as his enemy. How do you view people that hurt you? It's very important. Do you really hold grudges? If you hold grudge very long, it will turn into bitterness. You all say amen to that because it's so true. It will turn into something that will literally ruin your life. Think with me as we look there, not only as the jail keepers, those things that are in our mind, whatever they may be, bitterness. Someone said that immorality has slain its thousands, but bitterness has slain its tens of thousands. Where are you today in that? Javelin throwers. I tell you, as a pastor down in my years, I've had many people throw javelins at me spiritually. I've had them do things that really hurt. But I learned by God's grace not to let them control my thought life. Thirdly, is joy stealers. Joy stealers. Turn with me to Matthew in the New Testament and go there to chapter 6 in your Bible, if you will, please. Matthew, and turn with me to chapter 6. It's a sermon on the mount. And I want you to notice this here. Look in verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, let me translate that for you. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. You hear me? Stop worrying. Because worry will rob you of your joy. Look here. There are three reasons why you don't need to worry in this text. And worry is one of the biggest joy stealers that I know. Three reasons why you don't need to worry. One is because you have a Father in heaven. Isn't that great? You know, worry says you don't have a Father in heaven. Worry says you're on your own. Worry says God is not interested in you. Worry says the worst is going to happen. How many have ever worried and have found that 99.99.99% of you worry about never happened? You know why? Because you have a Father in heaven. Look there in verse 25 and 26. Therefore I say, take no what? No what? Thought. That's your thought life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body what you shall put in, is not the life more meat and more than meat and body? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Under your heavenly Father, you don't need, you got keep thing, you got a heavenly Father. And notice verse 28. So verse 27. Wherefore, which of you by taking what? Thought, that's your thought life, can add one cubit into your stature. Can you change? You know, I I like to be taller. I used to be 11 and a half. I've shrunk. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what? And that's just the way it is. It's okay. I'm shrunk. I'm getting old. I'm shrinking more and more. One day I won't even be able to stand behind this pulpit. I'll just keep... I don't think it'll be that bad. He says there, Wherefore, if you by taking thought... of tomorrow, can you add one? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the valley. Did you ever hear, see a lily have an anxiety attack? I don't think so. He says, for they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. God even takes care of the lily of the field. Not only because you have a heavenly Father, but because you have faith. You have something that the average person doesn't have in this world. Know what it is? It's called faith in God. You don't only have a heavenly Father, but you have faith. Look here. Here's the problem he was pointing out here. Look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into heaven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what? Now let me tell you something. Your problem is not worry. It's faith. You have little faith, but praise God, we have a great... It's not faith, it's faith in who you have it in. We got a great Father. We got a great Lord today. You know what your problem is? Somebody says, well, sin is a worry. No, sin's really not the issue. It's faith. It's a faith you don't have. So that's the sin that brings about the worry. So you've got to do something about faith. Increase your faith. You know what I do when I get those kind of... Where do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? That's it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? The word faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word is the word for rhema. It literally means that God will give you something in Scripture that will remove the worry and increase your faith. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do. I never forget a few years ago when, I don't talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it now real quick here. We had lost our church that we had received our retirement from after serving all those years, no longer gave it to us, which is their decision. But I want to tell you something. It affected me. How are we going to make it? How are we going to do it? That's worry. All of a sudden, my faith decreased. And that's sin. And I began to spend time in my Bible, time with my Lord. Guess what? God opened doors immensely to spy over our knees. John, and you happen to be one of them in this church, to be able to help here. Although our focus is not on the money, it's on the ministry. What God can do. And God has supplied everything. You know, it's a matter of I got a Father and I have faith and I also have a bright future. Look there in verse 34. Take therefore no what? No what? Thought. That's your thinking. Shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient, and today is the evil thereof. Don't get your mind off the future. We're going to talk about the God called the I Am tonight. Thank God he's not the I Was. He's not the I Will Be. He's called the Great I Am, the Eternal Present Tense God. You ready for this? You'll never live in tomorrow. Because when tomorrow comes, guess what? It'll be today. Amen? It's always today. We need to learn that valuable lesson. So the nature of the heart, these joy stealers, these jail keepers, these javelin throwers that come into our heart. And David twice David, his men wanted to kill Saul. David said, you can't do that. They said, but David, that's your enemy. David said, basically, I don't have any enemies except the devil. It was so positive. I remember years ago, we had a lady in our church. Her name was, we called her Marna. It wasn't her name. Oh, Marna was such a wonder. She's home with the Lord. I died at 99. I had her funeral. And I will forget Marna. Marna would never say anything negative about anyway. Her thoughts was always positive. And my wife did something I'll never forget. She said, Marna, you just are positive about everybody. I bet you can say something good about the devil, can't you? She said, yeah. She thought of me. She says, well, he's always busy. Hallelujah. Positive thinking is good if it's done scripturally in context of what God wants. Now think with me a second. Not only the nature of the heart. Think of the need of going to war. We're in a battle, folks. I want you to take your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians and the 10th chapter with me. Because we not only see the nature, but we need to see the need to realize we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Look there in chapter 10. And I want you to notice verse 4 and 5. And I would hope that you would mark those verses. They ought to be underlined. They ought to be highlighted. If you color them whatever you want to do, but make them stand out. Verse 4, the weapons of our warfare. Our weapons of our what? Yeah, we need to understand there needs to realize the need of going to war. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not flesh. You're not fighting some physical thing here. But mighty, through God, get this, pulling down strongholds. So he's going to talk about pulling down. Verse 5, casting down. What? That's your thought life. Imaginations. And then bringing everything to captivity to Christ. He's going to talk about here, overthrowing strongholds. He's going to talk about overcoming high places and overpowering every wrong thought in this passage. Look there with me, first of all, the need of overthrowing the strongholds, pulling down those things that will hinder us with our walk with Christ. Destroying those harmful things that just get a hold of our thought life. I'm going to go back to this. So put something in there. So you go all the way to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's going to deal with the thought life. He sure does. Over there in the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel is an very interesting chapter. As he deals with Israel, and he is giving Ezekiel some things he must do. Verse 8 of chapter 8 of Ezekiel, then said he unto me, that's God speaking to Ezekiel, son of man, dig in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, a literal wall, he's giving him instructions, wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do there. He opens the door of the wicked abominations. But look at verse 10. I want a word that I want you to underline. So I went in and I saw and behold every form of creeping thing and abominable beast and all the idols. Underline that word, idols. Now let me stop before I go on. How many of you worry? That's worshiping an idol. An addiction is an idol. Bitterness is an idol. Javelin throwing is an idol. Things that steal your joy are idols. You spend more time focusing on them than you do Jesus Christ. You're worshiping an idol. You look with me, read down further, of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. He's talking about a wall, and now he says, and thou stood before, verse 11, the 70 men of the agents of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man a censer in his hand, and thick cloud of incense went up. And so he sees this vision. Then he said, son of man, hast thou seen what the agents of the house of Israel do in dark? Every man in where? In the chamber of his what? That's your thought life. All those idols that are in your thought life, you're thinking about, they're controlling you. They're destroying your relationship with God. You're worshiping them. You might as well bow down to them because you think more about them. Listen, bitterness is such an addiction that it will, you'll think more about whatever than you won the wonderful, blessed Savior. So I want you to see that. So go back to our passage there, and if you will, please, in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11 or 10. The first thing he says, overthrow the strongholds. Pull them down, or they'll pull you down. Then he says in verse 5, casting down. That's overcoming the high places. Notice he says, cast down the imagine, what? The what? That's your thought life. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now these are the thoughts the devil puts in our mind that capture us, get a hold of us. He says, notice the pictures on the wall, the imaginations. When I thought of that young lady and her husband, I went back over 40 years ago. Where? In my mind. And I can still see him. Sitting there as she shook her fist in the face of her husband and says, you're just like my dad. Wow. Just imagine what her imagination was. Think with me here. As we look here, overcoming, casting down those things. Notice it says the high places. That's pride. Pride. You know, I think some people, I had a lady tell me one time, I was so angry at so-and-so, and I went to bed, and all of a sudden I couldn't remember her name. It so upset me that I stayed up half the night trying to think who I was mad at. Bowing down. We laugh at that, but that's exactly what she was doing. To her imaginations. So she was the overthrow of the strongholds and the casting down of the overcoming the high places. And then thirdly, the need of overpowering every wrong thought. Not only are we to overthrow, we're to overcome, but we're to overpower every wrong thought. Notice he says here, there in verse 5 again, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. But folks, I'm telling you today, is we got to get a hold of our thought life. Don't let it run wild. Let me give you, as we close, the necessity of getting God's help. So here I want to give you four things. Okay, I've given you all about the joy stealers. I've given you everything here about the javelin throwers. And I've told you here about this verse here, casting down, pulling down. Bring it into captivity. Now, how do you bring these thoughts into captivity? How do you change your thought life? Thank you for asking me. I want to give you four absolutely important things as we close. Number one, realize you're in a spiritual battle. If you don't realize that, you'll never, ever defeat wrong thoughts. You're in a spiritual battle. The world is not a playground. It's a battleground. Your thought life, pornography is a playground. Bitterness is a playground. Wrong thoughts are playgrounds. It's a battleground. I want you to get that. I want you to understand the truth of that. Realize you're in a battle. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13 talks about the enemy. I don't believe any Christian is demon possessed. But I do believe they're demon oppressed. They work on our thought life through our sin nature. So we need to first realize you're in a battle. You know, that's the first thing. Second thing, remove all hidden provisions of the flesh. Number two, listen, Romans 13, verse 14. Make no what? Provision for the flesh. Now, if you watch wrong TV programs, you've got a pornography problem, and you watch things on your internet you shouldn't watch, you're going to wind up in trouble. You're going to realize here, make no provision. I was dealing with a fellow one time who said to me, I said, how long take to go to work? Or something we talked about, I haven't got it. And he said, well, it takes me longer than I used to go. Well, I said, why? He said, because where I used to go to work, I would pass the beer joints. But I have a drinking problem. Are you listening to me? He said, I take the long way around. I don't even want to get near that stuff. Make no provision for the flesh. Make none. Anytime I have thoughts about a person that has a problem in my life, I said, Lord, remove that demon. Not the person, but the thoughts I have because they're wrong. You'll take care of everything. Those are demon thoughts that work on our thought system. Three, not only are we realizing the spirit, listen, just say, oh, I'm in a battle. You act like it's normal for everybody to have wrong thoughts. Let me tell you what, it's normal not to have wrong thoughts. It's abnormal to have wrong thoughts. As a Christian, remove the hidden provision. Thirdly, replace sinful thoughts with God's thoughts. Remove sinful thoughts with God's thoughts. Now let me stop right here. Do never, ever try to do that on your own. Pardon my grammar, you ain't strong enough. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Look there, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Realize you're in a spiritual battle. Remove all hidden provisions of the flesh. Replace sinful thoughts with God's thoughts. Look there in chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is what? Quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the what? Of the what? The word of God is the answer. The word discern means to criticize with the idea of removing wrong thoughts. The idea. The word in Psalm 119, thy word have I what? Hid in my heart. The word hid here has the idea to overpower wrong thoughts. I want to ask you a question. Are you memorizing God's Word? Pulling it off the pages of Scripture and putting it in your mind. That devil hates that. And you know what your weapon is against wrong thoughts? Is the Word of God. Just put them in and let it do its work. Because you cannot overthrow wrong thoughts. You have no strength to do it. You're nothing but a weakling. I am nothing but a weakling. I'm a wimp. You're a wimp, but he's all powerful. And that's what we need to do. And so we find not only to realize you're in a spiritual battle, that's the first thing. And a lot of Christians don't, listen, I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, the devil's after me, the flesh is after me, the world's after me, I'm in a battle. And I want to put on the armor of God. Remove those hidden provisions. Replace simple thoughts with God's thoughts. And fourthly, renew yourself every morning. Though the outward man perish, and it's perishing. Remember that shrinking, getting smaller and smaller. But the inward man, I'm going to tell you something. The new nature in Christ is as strong as the day you got it. Next month I'll be 80 years old. I don't look it, do I? I love you anyway. But I want to tell you something. My new nature is just as fresh and strong as the day I got saved through Christ. Renew your every day. Renew yourself every day. Though the outward, there's three ways to renew, and I close. Number one, pray. Prayer. You know what the problem is? The average person who, reason why he has strong thoughts, he doesn't pray. I'm talking about a ritual realism of a prayer life. You know what I do in my prayer life? I tell God things that are only between Him and me. What's going on in my life, my thought life. And I want you to notice not only prayer, but praise. You know, when wrong thoughts come, listen, you know, I want to be somewhat like Marner. Except I'm not too sure I agree with her statement about the devil. But she can't find anything bad in anybody. Hallelujah! Let God do that one. I'm just praise God for people. I praise God for the people that sued me, sued our church, me. You know why? Because I learned some valuable lessons I wouldn't have learned otherwise. You the same way. And so we not only need to pray, but we need to praise. And the power of God's Word is the third, which I just read in Hebrews chapter 4. I've got to get it off of Scripture. Get it into me. And take my coat off and fight the battles through His Word. And God will win every time. Father,